Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Kritis. Today is June 24th, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me. Glad to be back. I know on my geopolitical episode at 86A, my voice was sort of giving way, so my apologies on that. This is the Economic Podcast, episode 86B, U.S.-China Showdown is the title. I'm probably going to try to keep this one a little bit short because my voice actually did give out on me a couple times during episode 86A. So I want to do my best to protect my voice. I haven't talked too much throughout the day trying to preserve my voice, but it did go out on me a couple times. So my apologies to those of you who listened to episode 86A. Again, I'm going to do my best to keep this episode a little brief, but there's a lot to get to. So let me get straight to it. The S&P was down 5 points. The Dow closed up 8 points, the NASDAQ lost 26 points, the Russell 2000, the small cap index, lost 19.5 points, representing a decline of 1.26 percentage points for the day. The Dow Jones Transports lost 155 points, representing a decline of 1.5%, and the New York Stock Exchange lost 27 points, representing a decline of 0.2%. We're going to get back to that in a little bit, but I want to continue with our typical updates. We have oil. We have WTI trading at $57.25 a barrel, and we have Brent trading at $64.37 a barrel. Now, so despite sort of the escalation, de-escalation, escalation tensions transpiring within the Middle East, oil is sort of in a state of flux. I think if you're talking about the supply-demand functions, oil wants to go south. It wants to head lower, which is what we've been discussing here for quite a while, despite its impressive run-up since the beginning of this year. We did not believe in that rally because of the underlying fundamentals. Everything will come home to roost. Everything does revert back to the fundamentals, supply and demand, and that is what we have been waiting for. We always said, from a high level, that oil, the price of oil, trades on supply and demand, the strength or the weakness of the U.S. dollar, and geopolitical risks. Well, we have geopolitical risks right now. We have a dollar that has been somewhat in a state of flux. It has been strong until recently. It got decimated against a basket of currencies over the past week and sort of continues throughout today's trading range. We'll see what transpires tomorrow and throughout the rest of this week, given everything that's transpiring around the world. We have the G20 meeting, which is at the heart of today's episode, which is why it is titled U.S.-China Showdown. We're going to have to see what transpires at the end of this week at the G20 meeting between President Trump and President Xi of China. So there's a lot of things that are in flux right now. I think that is probably why the markets traded, generally speaking, in a very tight range, because they are on pins and needles, just like the markets are typically on pins and needles, awaiting remarks from the Federal Reserve or any other major central bank, but particularly the Federal Reserve. Now is also the case, where the markets are on pins and needles because this is a big week for data. We have the final revision to Q1 GDP coming out this week. We have another jobs number coming out this week, jobless claims coming out this week, and of course, we have the G20 meeting. Everybody is holding their breath. What is going to happen? Let's not look at the fundamentals like we're supposed to. Let's just wait to see what a bunch of idiots sitting around a table have to say as to what the cost of capital should be with the rate of interest. That's it. And what the President of the United States is going to do or not do with China, and likewise, what the Chinese president is going to do with the United States or isn't going to do. You're talking about a handful of people around the world controlling markets. Does that sound like free market capitalism to you? Not even close. Despite that, we have gold that is starting to catch a bid and now sits at $1,431 an ounce. Silver trading at $15.46 an ounce. We've been telling you here, if you want to be diversified, get involved with the precious metals. Always tell you to buy low, sell high. And that's all I could tell you. buy low, sell high. I don't give financial advice here. I give you information. I try to educate you the best I can. I might tell you what I personally am doing, but what you do is up to you. I'm trying to give you the tools to be successful in that world. We have the U.S. 10-year Treasury down 2.25% today, now trading at 2.021%. Can't make this stuff up. These interest rates just keep going lower and lower and lower, on the anticipation that the Federal Reserve is going to come to the rescue and lower interest rates. We have the VIX, the Volatility Index, losing 1%, now trading at $15.26 for the day. So interesting, getting back to some of the major indices that we talk about, particularly that of the Dow Jones Transports, which we look at as a leading indicator, trading down 1.5%, and also the Russell 2000, which I think is really an internal heartbeat to the overall market, because those are the small caps. That is supposed to be very contingent and very strongly correlated with the U.S. economy. Well, the Russell 2000 isn't anywhere near record highs. It's been rolling over. It might catch a bid here or there, but you have this, losing 19.5 points today, down 1.26%, when the S&P, the Dow, the NASDAQ are just trading in a tight range, on pins and needles, waiting to see what happens. Not so for the small cap index. Is this the canary in the coal mine? Do we have to pay attention to what's taking place in the small caps? Now, of course, we continue to live in the financial world of Oz. I just stated, we wait, holding our breath for what the Federal Reserve is going to say and do. We hold our breath waiting to see what the President of the United States is going to tweet. Anything could happen. I don't like talking out of both sides of my mouth, but this is the world in which we live. This is the environment in which we live. Nobody knows what's going to happen, because nobody knows what the president's going to tweet or say. And the markets move on it because the markets want to believe whatever the president of the United States has to say. Of course, we've been jerked around for 6 months saying that we're going to have this fantastic deal that we didn't have. So how much longer is this boy going to be able to cry wolf? Law of diminishing marginal returns. I talk about it here all the time. It's true in markets. It's true in presidents. That's why I wrote the letter to the president about his credibility. I don't think he could care less. He's going to do what he wants to do. He likes to exaggerate. He likes to be braggadocious. He just wants the best numbers that money can buy. That's all he wants. And that's what he's looking for. That's why he's telling the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates. Embark on another round of quantitative easing. Makes no difference what the real negative effects are going to be throughout the broader economy. Makes no difference how it's really going to negatively impact the vast majority of his base, mind you, the people who feel like they are the forgotten men and women of the United States of America. They feel that way because they do not have financial assets. Well, guess who benefits from lower interest rates and quantitative easing? Those who have financial assets. The 1%. 1% of this country's population own 40% of financial assets. Excuse me. 1% of the population owns 40% of stocks, okay, and financial assets in this country. All right? That's who's going to benefit. You think that's right? I don't think that's right, but that's what's going on. So, what's going to happen here at this G20 meeting? Because that's the heart of this episode. But before we get to that, there's a couple other points of interest here. We have German business sentiment, the lowest since November of 2014. We have the U.S. Dallas Fed Manufacturing Index at a three-year low. a three-year low. Does that sound good to you? Does that sound like the U.S. economy is winning? Doesn't sound like that to me, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, this just gives the Federal Reserve more cover to say, oh, yeah, we can cut interest rates at our July meeting next month. And then we're going to have to wait to see what happens this week with Q1 final revision to see where we come out on that number. And jobless claims. We're going to have to see what happens there, what type of rolling average that comes out to. Because that's what the Federal Reserve says they're paying attention to. We don't pay attention to any one single number, but we look at averages. We look at what happens over 3 months, what happens over 6 months, and what the average is. Whatever BS figure they're going to give you, it's all BS to begin with. It's just going to be an excuse to bail out Wall Street, once again, at the expense of middle America. And again, we have the President of the United States calling for it. Makes no sense whatsoever. In fact, the President was out tweeting once again today saying if the Federal Reserve wasn't acting like a child, I mean, that's rich, coming out and saying if the Federal Reserve didn't act like a child and cut rates like the rest of the world's doing, the Dow would be up thousands of points. GDP would be at 4%, maybe even 5%. And we would just be doing fantastic. I thought we were doing fantastic without it. When was the United States supposed to follow the rest of the world? Isn't the rest of the world supposed to follow the United States? Aren't we supposed to be leading by example? The rest of the world has negative interest rates. We talked about that last week. I did the episode, $10 trillion, and I've been putting that off because of so much other news that came in. $10 trillion in negative yielding debt. And then only a couple days later, it was updated, and we're closer to 12, and it's growing. It's growing every single day. You have to pay for the privilege to lend the government your money. You get less back than what you gave them. Makes no sense whatsoever. Somehow, some way, the president has it in his mind that that's a great policy. It isn't. It isn't. And you know who also actually has the nerve to come out and actually say that that's not a good policy, believe it or not, is the Bank for International Settlements. The Bank for International Settlements. That is the central bank for central bankers out of Switzerland. They now have come out and they said, you know what? All of this negative yielding debt is not good. It's not good. Cutting interest rates, quantitative easing, all these other types of crap that all these central banks the world over are doing. It's not good. Excuse me, why? Because it's creating a whole bunch of zombie companies. According to the Bank for International Settlements, no less than 12% of global non-financial companies qualify as quote-unquote zombies. They're a dead man walking. Poor leadership, poor management, poor implementation, bad product, whatever it is. They are alive because of low interest rates. They should be gone. This is why I wrote my article, Why Do We Fear Recessions? Check it out on thecapitalnews.com. Why do we fear recessions? Recessions are corrections. Corrections are good things. We're supposed to rid the waste, the disease, out of the system. But no. Governments can't have it. Central banks can't have it because nobody wants to be held responsible. So instead, let's keep a whole bunch of people in business who don't know what they're doing. This is why we're going to have a brutal day of reckoning. And the further and further we kick this can down the road, the worse off we're all going to be. This stifles innovation. This just hamstrings entrepreneurs. We talk about the ludicrous IPO market, ludicrous market caps of companies that do not even make a profit, where the market is valuing them at multi-billion dollars. You cannot make this stuff up. Even companies such as Apple and Amazon and Google and Microsoft, household names, are near trillion-dollar companies. Some of them are trillion-dollar companies. How sustainable do you think that is? And this White House, this administration, this Federal Reserve, and other central banks around the world have the nerve to look at you in the eye and say there's no inflation. There's nothing. You think that's sustainable? Not even close. Not even close. Buckle up and get ready. How much further can they kick this can down the road? Who knows? It's anybody's guess. That's why I say be prepared. Be diversified. Build cash. If you got a 401k, you got an IRA, you got you're young, you got a long time horizon, stay invested to the long side. You can take these types of hits. But build cash and get ready for the sell of a lifetime, because believe you me, it is coming. Doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow, because we have people that are pulling on the levers to manipulate this market as much as possible. But I stand by my guns and my remarks here, and will always do so, that the laws of diminishing marginal returns are going to start kicking in on a whole host of issues across the board, not to mention the deterioration that we are seeing in the economic numbers all the time. Not just in this country, but around the world. Again, German business sentiment, lowest since November 2014. U.S. Dallas Fed Manufacturing Index at a three-year low. That's on top of what we talked about last week with the New York Empire State Index being at an all-time low. And now you got the Bank for International Settlements saying that we have zombie companies the world over because of low interest rates. Can't make this stuff up. Now to the G20 meeting. What is going to transpire is anybody's guess. We now have news that came out today that an anonymous U.S. official is saying that the President of the United States, Donald Trump, is now basically indifferent to what happens at the G20 meeting in regards to his meeting with President Xi of China. Now he doesn't care. For 6 months, we're jerked around. We're told this is going to be a historic deal. It's the best thing ever for the United States of America. I did it. I'm the best. We're going to have a signing ceremony, all this stuff, which is laughable because I wanted to talk about this last week, but of course my voice went out on me because I thought it was pretty funny because our buddy, our pal, Larry Kudlow, was doing an interview on CNBC, and he was asked a question once again about the trade talks. And poor Larry, this guy has just been beaten to death on these questions and telling everybody there's going to be a signing ceremony and all this crap. I mean, the guy, I mean, it was laughable. I mean, I was laughing. He was all just, you know, I have no idea what's going to happen. I mean, I'm paraphrasing him, but he's like, I don't know what's going to happen. I can't make any comments. I don't know what's going to happen because I told you there was going to be a deal and now there was no deal. And, you know, I don't know. We're just going to see what happens and that's it. The poor guy has been through hell. His credibility has been thrown out the window on this because there's no doubt that the president sent him out there to make those comments to get the market to rally, which is exactly what happened. And now, there is no deal. Tariffs, escalation on both sides. And now, of course, Larry is back in the public. Thank goodness. I didn't want to find him in the Potomac. He's back there in the spotlight. But he's asked a question, and he says, I just can't do it. I can't answer it. I don't know what's going to happen. To me, that was funny. But nevertheless, that's what happened. So, what are we likely to see? The markets, at this point, are not expecting a trade deal at the G20. I think that's reasonable. What the markets are expecting, I believe, is a truce. That we're going to be on hold once again. We're not going to increase tariffs. We're just going to keep them where they are. Maybe the president of either side will say, we'll lower our tariffs for a couple months, or maybe a month, and we'll see what happens. That's what the markets are hoping. Now, obviously, the best case scenario would be a deal, but that's, I don't think, is in the realm of possibilities. I mean, it's always a possibility, but the probability of that happening is probably less than 1%. Okay, unless we've all been played for the long time, and President Trump and President Xi have been playing us for 7 months just waiting for this event. Who knows? We're going to have to see, but I do not assign a high probability to that. So the markets are probably anticipating that there's going to be some type of truce. Regardless of what happens, unless it's really bad, President Donald J. Trump is going to come out and say, I have a great relationship with President Xi of China. We exchange beautiful letters back and forth to each other. We're good friends. And then, I mean, there's going to be no specifics to anything. We had a good conversation is going to be it, just like we've heard for the past 6 months. No specifics. And that'll be it. Whether the markets rally on that is anybody's guess. but that's probably what's going to be it. Now, I think the markets could potentially be setting themselves up for a negative surprise, meaning they're too optimistic that it's just going to be a truce. What happens if talks fall apart? What happens if President Trump interprets President Xi's conversation as, we're digging our heels in, we think we can tolerate this for a lot longer than you think we can. We have the ability to lower our taxes. We have the ability to cut our interest rates, to flood our markets with more liquidity. The Chinese could come out and say that. I mean, maybe not specifically, but read between the lines. And I'm sure President Trump is astute enough to catch up on that. So they might say, you know what? We're the young buck. We're coming up. You, the United States of America, you're waning. You're losing your touch. I mean, you can't win wars in the Middle East. You can't even overthrow a regime in Venezuela. Now you're saber-rattling in Iran. You don't have the money to do so. You don't have the appetite to do it. But nevertheless, that's where you're headed. I mean, there's a whole host of things. You got deteriorating economic numbers. I mean, you might say that you have the best numbers in the global economy at 3.2% Q1 GDP. But guess what? We're the Chinese. We have 6.6% GDP. And the last time I checked, 6.6 is bigger than 3.2. So, I mean, you don't know what's going to happen with the calculus of the Chinese. We just don't. All we know right now is that we're at a standstill in the course of escalation. That is where we are factually speaking. We are at a standstill in the overall trend of escalation. Will President Trump and President Xi get together and resolve some of these main issues? I really hope that they do. I really hope that they do. But I will be surprised if it's as positive as the president wants us to believe, or as some market participants want us to believe. I think the market wants to rally to the upside. I think the market would rather see a melt-up than a meltdown. And one of the things that will be the catalyst for that would be a trade deal in conjunction with the Federal Reserve, which is another interesting thing. Because if President Trump somehow gets a deal or really makes it seem like there is going to be a deal in the very short term between the U.S. and the Chinese, then why would the Federal Reserve do what he wants and cut interest rates? I mean, we already go through the whole list of things as to why would the Federal Reserve do it in the first place. But if one of their headwinds, one of their concerns, is this ongoing escalation between the United States and China, and Trump alleviates that headwind, he removes that headwind, then why would the Federal Reserve come back and say, okay, yeah, we're going to cut interest rates, 25 basis points, 50 basis points, whatever, because this major headwind is no longer there. In fact, if it's removed, it'll be seen by the markets, at least in the very short term, as a tailwind. So if you have the S&P making new all-time highs, if you have the Dow Jones Industrial knocking on the door of all-time new highs, the NASDAQ getting close again, supposedly the economy is roaring on all cylinders, if you ask the president and his administration, then why would we have to embark on lower interest rates and another round of quantitative easing? Does it make sense at all? But these are the things we have to pay attention to. It's going to be a crazy week, as we outlined in episode 86A, today's political podcast, because we have the Democratic debate, the two-day affair that is going to take place this week. We have the G20 meeting. We have sanctions being placed on the Iranians. We're escalating those. If anybody guessed what's going to happen overnight, what's going to happen tomorrow, but this is going to be a very, very busy and interesting week. The markets are on pins and needles. I would imagine that most of the markets here are going to trade in a tight range unless there is some sort of geopolitical event that transpires that shocks the news wires. Because otherwise, everybody's just going to be sitting down waiting to see what takes place at the G20. You got people on both sides of this trade. It's going to be very, very interesting to see what comes of it. Despite the fact that I do not like that individuals and a handful of individuals are moving markets to this degree, This is the financial world of Oz in which we live, and we have to pay close attention to it. But please, ladies and gentlemen, stay diversified, stay aware, build some cash if you can, and be patient, because you will be able to partake in the sell of a lifetime. Believe me when I tell you, we just got to be patient. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm glad my voice was able to hold out better than I thought it would. Please join me again here tomorrow, because there's going to be a lot more to discuss as we make our way throughout this week and well beyond. This is the Capital News. I am Alex Kritis. Godspeed.